Good morning. We've been working through what we can learn about a healthy, helpful, holistic vision for how we should be living as followers of Jesus. And we've been doing this, of course, by looking at the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Listen carefully. Do you have a really good handle on what God wants to do in you and through you? We're in a time of transition here at Maybridge, and the opportunity is to examine the way that we understand and the way that we practice our partnership with God. And when we have a better handle on this, we're in a clearer place to see how and where we fit into what God is doing in our church. Now, that's either going to excite you this morning or it's going to disturb you. And if it does neither of those two things, then you really need to speak to someone after the service and deal with that in your life. So today we're looking at the sovereignty of God. Actually, it's more about that as we choose to partner with God and as we choose to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and to show us God's desires for our lives, this partnership thing that we have with God is in a very safe place. We're also going to learn this morning that anything that God ordains, any vision that God ordains for our lives to us, is always going to appear at first to be like an impossible task. Because to get God's vision done in my life, to get God's vision done in my life, guess what? I need God. And I hope also that we can learn today that we don't have to struggle over whether we've understood the vision of God correctly, because God is sovereign. And he will only bless the things that he ordains. And finally, I hope that we're going to learn today that because God is sovereign, he actually uses our circumstances to prepare us for things that he wants us to do, and to also to prepare us for the things that we want to do that have his blessing and have his permission. So, the story with Nehemiah so far is that Nehemiah's brother has come back from a trip to Jerusalem, and Nehemiah has asked him how things are going in the old country, and of course they're desolate. The walls remain broken, the gates remain burned and unrepaired, and Jewish religious life is undisciplined and very far from being united, and it breaks his heart. Nehemiah weeps, he fasts, he prays, he worships the Lord, and he confesses to God. He confesses about his own sin, he confesses about his family's sin, he confesses about his nation's sin. And then he goes through a period in his life where he reminds God of all the promises that God has given to his people. And he tells the Lord, "Lord, this is exactly what I would love you to do for your people." And then right at the very end of chapter 1, we're told that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. The person who gets to taste all the food and the drink served to the king just in case someone slipped in some poison. Great job. So let's quickly recap on the three building blocks that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Firstly, figuring out how to partner with God begins with a very genuine concern for the way that things are, the way that things are going. You're desiring and trying to live God's way, and there are things that begin to break your heart in that process. You're deeply troubled about the things that are causing this problem. Nehemiah's heart was deeply, deeply upset by what was happening to Jerusalem and how this had obviously demoralized and distracted his people from worshiping God in the way that they ought to be worshiping him. Nehemiah was not an emotionally unstable person. He wasn't a weak person, but he was a burdened person. And that burden drove him to long periods of prayer and of fasting. And that is the second building block that we've learned so far. The principle is simply this, that getting the vision for something does not necessarily require an instant action. Sometimes we just simply have to wait upon God. Be patient. And as we patiently wait upon the Lord and upon his perfect timing and provision, the third building block is to continue to pray, expecting God to answer, expecting God to provide a way, expecting God to break through the barriers and the obstacles. So let's this morning take those first three building blocks and add another two to them today. Number four is understanding that the circumstances that we find ourselves in are always going to be used by God to position us and to prepare us for what he wants. Why? Because he is sovereign. How? Because he is sovereign. And then building block five is simply accepting that if and when God chooses to originate anything, something, anything, he will orchestrate it to its best effect. Why? Because he's sovereign. How? Because he's sovereign. So let's pick it up from the end of Nehemiah chapter 1. And we've discovered that Nehemiah is the king's food and drink tester, and let's see what happens. Shall we read this together? In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city of my ancestors are buried and lied in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it that you want?" Now, 4 months have passed between the end of chapter 1 and this bit of chapter 2 that we're reading. We know that 4 months have passed because we read there about the month of Nisan, and in chapter 1 we read about the month of Kislev, and we know that in the Jewish calendar those are 4 months apart. Nehemiah, the slave, who worked for the king, who was expendable if ever the king's food or drink had been poisoned, had been praying and fasting and weeping and longing about what was going on in Jerusalem. His master was the Babylonian king, and we need to remember this is the same king of Babylon. Well, it's a different king now, but it's the same people that tore down the walls in the first place. These Babylonians had sacked Jerusalem and burned it because they knew, like any good military power knows, that a city without defenses is useless. But here is Nehemiah, heart heavy. Something needs to be done. Much thinking, much praying, much waiting upon God, much talking to God, much telling God exactly what he thinks God ought to be doing. But Nehemiah right then was powerless. Slaves have no influence. They have no resources. God had put something into Nehemiah's heart that was so big, and he didn't have a clue how it was going to get done. But it was still in his heart. It was just simply out of his reach. Nehemiah knows this, and that's why he cries out to God. He says, I can't do this, but my God can. And he says to God, you need to do something about this sorry state of affairs. And we need to understand in our lives today that God-ordained vision simply requires God. You believe that for yourself this morning? God calls you. God wants you to do something. God lays something on your heart. God gives you a great vision for something that you can do with your life. Great. But in order to get that done, you're going to need God. God's ordained ideas are always, always too big for us to handle. God's calling on Nehemiah's life, that he wanted him to be a rebuilder of the walls, to be a rebuilder of a nation, not to be a poison tester. But here he was, a poison tester. All the time, though, God had been engineering Nehemiah's circumstances. So get this. Nehemiah would end up in the right time, at the right place, with the right person, at the right time that God's vision came to fruition. Isn't that amazing? And he does it for us. He wants to do it for you and for me. He wants to do it for Maybridge as a church. But God-ordained wisdom and God-ordained vision requires God. Nehemiah finds himself in a place where he has a job with an unusual perk, a daily inside track to the king. Every single meal, the king trusted his life to the man who tasted his food and his wine. Building block four. You need to ask yourself if you accept and if you understand that God is using your circumstances, your position, your environment, what you are facing today, this instant, to position you and to prepare you to accomplish some very specific vision for your life. Some of us wrestle with that. Some of us need to be reminded of that. For us who follow Jesus, you see, success is not about reaping rewards. Let's leave that to the ungodly. Success, for those who follow Jesus, is when we remain faithful to the process that God has laid out for our lives. And if you are where God wants you to be, and if you are fulfilling the responsibilities that He has given you to fulfill, then that's successful to God. That's when at the end of your life, He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest. Success is not even in seeing our vision materialize. If we live in a way that says, I'm only ever going to consider myself successful if what I've envisioned actually happens, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. Because it won't always happen the way we think it's going to happen. And when we do end up seeing that it's not quite working out the way we planned, God has another idea. We can quickly get discouraged and abandon these visions that we have. So I'm saying to you today, celebrate your surroundings. Celebrate who you are today. Celebrate what you're doing. Celebrate the place that you're in, the people that you know, the job that you're in. We can go on and on, can't we?
Just say, God, I accept it. I love it. Because I just want to be where you want me to be. Thank God for where you're at. Trust the Lord because He is sovereign. And because He is sovereign, He orchestrates things in the world around you. And stay faithful to the Lord. It is true, I believe, that the vision of where an organization should go acts like magnetic north on a compass. And try and think about that in terms of our church here at this time. Why always precedes how, which always precedes what? The why that we're talking about is the sovereignty of God at work. The how is something that God has already worked out that He wants to do. Why? Because He is sovereign. And the what that needs to happen is actually not really a what, it's a who. Who's going to do this? Who will stand? Who will be available? Who will go? Who will decide that for my life, I only want to live to glorify God? I want to follow the Son, and I want to listen closely to the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you simply this morning, is that what you want to do? Is that the place that you're in now? What God ordains, He orchestrates. And just like we read in Luke 1:37, there isn't a single word from God that will not fail. In fact, if you try to, you can search the Bible from cover to cover. You can go from Genesis to Revelation. You won't be able to find a single recorded story or event in all of Scripture in which the responsibility for figuring out how divine vision will be fulfilled was left to the men and women to whom the vision was given. It's always about God and His sovereignty. But what you do see all over the place, and I see it in countless places here in Maybridge, is God-orchestrated events. He conducts the music, and it's beautiful. The musicians just have to follow the music and follow the conductor. When God is orchestrating events, everyone involved comes to realize that it is a work of God and not of human hands. And that's when church gets fun and exciting and powerful and meaningful. And we walk away from times together and we say, wow, wasn't it great what God did today? So, ask yourself this question this morning. I think the thing is to do is to start off by saying to yourself, am I actually in the orchestra? So I'm asking you that this morning. Are you in God's orchestra? And if you are in God's orchestra, are you reading the music and following the lead of your conductor? Because that's what we want for everyone here today.
And just in case you're unsure, everyone means you too. Without any doubt in my head, I know that God has placed and will place vision in your life. Once you have something in your heart that you know is from Him, grab a hold of it. Never let it go unless God tells you to let it go. People may question it. People may criticize you. They may even become the obstacles in your way. But hold on with everything and trust God and show God that you are willing to let Him be sovereign in all of this. And remember that, like Nehemiah, who we are studying, preparation and planning just take time. Never forget that you are simply a player in God's team. You're a musician in God's orchestra. That this isn't a solo effort. It isn't all down to you. It's just simply you hearing what God wants you to do and letting God be sovereign. Give Him that place of privilege today. Give Him the place of privilege that the one with the power to do this deserves. Yielding to His sovereignty will give you both patience and peace. And it'll also help us to build a church that God wants us to be. It'll help us to do the things that God wants us to do, not just the things that we want to do. And so it's often said that God only blesses what He ordains. Think that through. It may help you this morning to figure out places and behaviors and decisions in your lives that just currently aren't being blessed. Maybe it's just because they're not ordained. And when you do get it worked out that this is what God wants you to do, you have to say that you realized, God, I am not always where you want me to be. But I again want to say to you, I want you to be sovereign in my life. I know that you love me. I know that you guide me. And so I'm asking. Scripture says we do not have because we do not ask. Will you ask God to help you to make Him sovereign in your life today? Let's close. As the band comes up and we get ready to sing a closing song in a time of just really giving us opportunity to come before the Lord. Five building blocks. Maybe one or more of those building blocks is something that you need to say to God, I need help with this in my life. And before I leave church today, I'm going to deal with it. When we sing just now, you know, I encourage you, prayer team, wherever you are, get into action in the corner there. If you want to pray with someone and you want to join the prayer team, you can go and find them there. If you want to find someone in your seat and just say, look, just pray for me. If you feel an urge to turn around and offer to pray for someone near you, do that before we finish today. And this is really what it is all about. To be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, we must be willingly surrendered to the full and utter sovereignty of God. Jesus Himself is our example and our pattern. And He was always fully focused on hearing and then doing the will of His Father in heaven. It takes lots of willpower to do this. Sometimes it takes admitting that we've fallen off our bike and we need to get back on it again. Sometimes it just simply starts with an open time of confessing to God that I haven't been living this way. Please help me to do it again. But the decision is ours today. God's way or my way. Let's stand and sing.